Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I've asked this Christmas season also with every interview, we have to also have a special Christmas song of ministry as well. And so I want to ask you to welcome one of my top five, if not my favorite singer on the planet. My wife's going to come minister to us today, and there'll be a different song every week this month. So God bless you as you listen.
Oh, come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable.
Aren't you glad that that God welcomes all of us? We're so used during the Christmas season, come all you faithful. And I'm thankful that God says, come those of you that have been messed up, broken, and unfaithful as well. Amen? Well, I want to ask you to turn to your neighbors and just tell them this statement. I did not sign up for this. Have you ever said that before in your life? I didn't sign up for this. I know I have. We're going to look at our text this morning, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Looking at the story of Christ's birth, but also more importantly this morning, looking at the life of Joseph, it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Father, we love you. We thank you this morning that your word needs no anointing because it's already anointed. It is, by its very essence, God breathed. But Father, we do need your help this morning. We need that extra help of your Spirit to not just hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to us from the Word, but also to be able to speak it as you want it spoken this morning. So I just pray you enable me and enable us this morning to allow all of that to happen. And we're going to be faithful at the conclusion of this time together to respond to what your Spirit says to us. And we'll give you thanks. By the room said amen. So I grew up in a pretty small church. It was just a few of us families at times, it seemed like. And it was definitely the number of kids in our church was a pretty small number of kids, but it seemed like every year this season, at some point in the service, somebody somewhere was going to demand that we have a nativity scene at the church, which meant if you were one of those 6 to 12 kids that attended our church, you were going to be drafted, right? It wasn't a matter of, were you going to play a part in the nativity scene? The question was, which part would you play? And Michael, the most coveted part was the part of Joseph because he didn't have to speak. He just stood there looking at Mary, looking at the wise men, and looking at the shepherds. He just had a part to play. And I never really volunteered for any of those, but I was voluntold. Does anybody know the difference between being volunteered and voluntold? That I was going to do that. So if I was going to do something, I wanted to play the part of Mary. I'm sorry, the part of, whoop, take that back. Whole different story, different issues. We'll address those a different day. I wanted to play the part of Joseph. Can you edit that out of the video, please? I wanted to play the part of Joseph. Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. Got to do this again next service. Joseph, all right. Who did I want to play? Joseph. If anyone remembers one part about this message today, that will be the part you remember. I know. I wanted to play the part of Joseph. This was going well, and then y'all like derailed me, or I derailed myself. But I'm just saying, if there's ever a guy in the Bible who was voluntold, instead of volunteered, he was going to do something, it had to be Joseph. When he found out, A, Mary was pregnant. B, that this pregnancy was birth of the Holy Spirit. C, that this pregnancy was going to be birth into the King of the Jews, the guy who is supposed to overthrow every empire on earth, the guy who's supposed to bring freedom to every captive person, the person who's supposed, this is not going to be some life in the shadows. This is going to be a life in the midst of persecution. If there was ever a person who had the opportunity to say, you know what, I did not sign up for this, it was Joseph. As a matter of fact, you can even see where he intended. He thought about just saying, hey, not me, wrong guy, wrong time. Let me out of this. Let me just divorce her quiet. Let me get out of this. I did not sign up for this. But thankfully, he didn't do that. Thankfully, he trusted God and he followed the Lord. And I'll just say this. Haven't we all had moments where we thought in spiritual realms and also just in personal and business that, man, I did not sign up for this? How many ever had that thought before? Maybe you're at a job, especially a new job, and you get the job and you realize that the to-do list is longer than the job description. And maybe you thought, I did not sign up for this. By the way, the to-do list is always longer than the job description, right? So don't quit your job because there's more to it than you thought. There's always more to it than you thought. That's not in the Bible. That's just free information. It happens in serving at church. You think, hey, I'm gonna serve in the kids department, and you get back there and the kids are meaner than you thought. You think, I'm gonna join the worship team, and all of a sudden the worship team leader is more in your face than you thought. Or you're serving in the out front, and people are less grateful than you thought. Maybe you're at your job, there's cutbacks, and you're laid off, or you're having someone else quit, and now you're feeling two positions or three positions for the same amount of pay when you were just filling one position. And you might think, man, I did not sign up for this. Or maybe you're sick. Sickness hits your home. Sickness hits a family member. And you think, man, I've done the right things. I did not sign up for this. Or maybe you're experiencing the first Christmas as a single person, as a widow, divorced, without a loved one. You may be thinking, man, I did not sign up for this. Or maybe during this COVID-19 season we're in, you think, I never signed up to be a homeschool teacher, right? I never signed up to work from home. I never signed up to be quarantined for weeks or months. I never signed up to work 1 week and be off in a week. Maybe you're in your marriage today. I never signed up for heartbreak. I never signed up for moments of distrust. I never signed up for this picture that I had in my mind to be changed by circumstances. There's a lot of us in this room, we found ourselves in different seasons where you could be tempted to say, I never signed up for this. Joseph, if you look at his life, he did not sign up for some reality TV show called Being a Savior's Dad, right? He did not sign up to have his life put in the forefront or to be the guy responsible for protecting Mary and seeing Jesus protected as a young man. He didn't sign up for any of that, but here's what I've learned about Joseph, and I hope you will learn about yourself this morning, is some of the greatest miracles, listen to this, some of the greatest miracles, Pastor, I'm not sure if I believe in them. You don't have to believe in them. Some of the greatest miracles of your life will happen in seasons you didn't sign up for. I want to say that again. Some of you think, Pastor, I'm in the hardest place of my life. I did not sign up to be here. I didn't volunteer to be here. Someone lied to me when they got me into this position or into this mess. I don't know how I got here. Here's what I'm telling you this morning. Just like Joseph discovered the greatest purpose of his life, the greatest moving of God in his life, the greatest intentions of God in his life happened in moments he didn't see coming. And I'll say it again, some of the greatest miracles and moments in your life will happen in moments you didn't see coming. So what do I do when I'm in a season I didn't sign up for? What do I do when I'm dealing with stuff I didn't see coming? Joseph kind of teaches us a few things to do. Here's the first one this morning. Number one, start listening to God. Joseph is distraught. I mean, just think about it. He's engaged to be married, which an engagement in the Bible days was not an engagement like in our days. An engagement in the Bible days is not because if you're the guy, you bought a ring and you said in 6 months from now or 6 years from now in some cases, we're going to get married. No, an engagement basically meant for all intents and purposes, you are already legally married. You are already legally responsible for that person, and your conduct towards that person was legally binding as if you were already married. And so when Mary tells Joseph, hey, I'm with child, Joseph, it's not that he's just thinking, well, maybe she has been unfaithful through an engagement process. It's like marital unfaithfulness. It is a huge deal. And when life is not going your way, here's what I've discovered. I hope you've discovered it too. When life is not going your way, you need a word from God. The problem is, most of us, when life doesn't go our way, instead of seeking a word from God, we seek a word from other people. Right? We reach our phone out and we Google how to deal with this or how to find a hotline for that. We ask our friends. Most of us, let me just get right in your grill this morning, most of us find people who have failed in similar areas and we ask them for advice. Next time you're facing a bankruptcy, don't ask the guy who's broken than you are for advice. Doesn't that make sense? So the next time you have a marriage issue, don't ask the guy. I'm not condemning anyone, but don't ask the guy that's been married 17 times for marital advice. Amen? Find someone whose marriage is pleasing God. Find someone whose spouse is actually willing to have a conversation with them together because they're both on the same page. But I've just discovered that we are in the throes of life. When life is not going our way, we often seek a word from everybody but God. But when you are facing something you never saw coming, when you're in something you never signed up for, you need a word from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15 says this, to make an apt answer brings joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. See, here's the thing. Sometimes our words as humans makes matters worse. But a word from God always makes things better. Joseph was a great guy. The Bible says he is a righteous man. He wanted to do the right thing. And I can look across this room, and many of you I know, not just on a name basis, but I know your heart. I know how you love God. And many of you, if I look around this room, I see a lot of Josephs. I see a lot of men who like to do the right thing. When they're handed bad situations, you still want to do the right thing. That's how Joseph was. He was handed a bad situation, humanly speaking, on the outside looking in. It was something he didn't ask for, and yet he found himself wanting to do the right thing, but his instinct was the wrong thing, right? The right thing was to marry her, is what God said. His instinct was to divorce her quietly. Just this, I'm just talking to the men. How many men in this room have ever done the wrong thing while trying to do the right thing? Okay, if you're married and you didn't lift your hand, you're either not honest or you have not been married long enough. Because all of us have done the wrong thing, trying to do the right thing, which is just evidence. We need the help of the Lord. We need the help of the Holy Spirit helping us when we don't know what to do. Well, Pastor, how on earth do I get a word from God? How do I know what God tells me to say? Well, you know, 2 Timothy reminds us in chapter 3 that all of God's word is inspired by God, breathed by God to correct us and instruct us and help us in every moment. It teaches us what is right and it teaches us what is wrong. And here's the thing, without a word from God, we will misinterpret what God is doing and what we are to do about it. Joseph was oblivious to what God was doing and what his response was. Should be. And when you find yourself in a position where you say, you know, I did not sign up for this. I did not sign up for this in my family. I did not sign up for this in my finances. I did not sign up for this in my relationship. I did not sign up for this in my church or my ministry or my job. Friends, if you just do what comes natural to do, you're going to see that situation through human eyes, and you're going to do what comes natural to human understandings. When just like Joseph, you need to see your situation through supernatural eyes, and you need supernatural wisdom. So you make a thing that turns that situation for God's glory and not your demise. You can hear a word from God even when you're in a place that you think, I did not sign up to be here. I think about Moses, who was called to be the Egyptian, lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He knew he had that calling upon his life. He didn't know what to do with it, but he knew he had it. And he tried to do it his own way. He thought, I'm just going to free these people one person at a time, which is why he killed an Egyptian taskmaster, and then he had to flee for his life. And now he's out being a shepherd for his father-in-law in the middle of the wilderness. And he's out there in a place where he probably never wanted to be. He thought, man, I did not sign up for this. I just chose to try to stand for my God. And here I am ostracized and alienated from all the blessing that I used to have in Egypt. I'm out here by myself. This God-forsaken place is perhaps how he felt. And yet right there, what happens? God shows up to him in a burning bush. You know, Elijah one day was feeling all depressed. depressed. He thought, man, God, no one's serving you. And here he was in this cave. It seemed like everyone's out to kill him. All he's trying to do is serve God, and he's all by himself. He's feeling depressed, and God shows up and says, listen, you're not by yourself. There's thousands of people, 7,000 people that have yet to bow their knee and worship this false God that you're worried about this morning. I'm just telling you that sometimes the place that you think is off limits and away from God's power, away from God's will, is a perfect place for you to hear from God. In Deuteronomy, the word begins to tell people how their disobedience is going to drive them away from the promised land. But I love what the book of Deuteronomy says in chapter 4, that there's this promise in verse 29. It says, but if from there you will seek the Lord, from there, did you hear that? And from that forsaken, from that abandoned, from that place of punishment, from that place of exile, if you will seek me there, the Lord says, even there you will hear a word from God. I'm just here to tell you this morning, no matter what you're facing, where you are, no matter how many times you have been upset the last 7 days thinking, I did not sign up for this, that wherever that place is today, that is a place you can hear from God today. Amen? You can hear from God today. So determine this morning, I need a word from God. And here's the thing, once you make that determination that I need a word from God, he will bend heaven and earth to make sure you get a word from God. Number two, refuse to operate out of fear. Here's a little Christmas study for you. Go through the Christmas story and figure out how many times someone had to say this phrase, do not fear, or do not be afraid. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And you'll have a son, you'll name him Jesus. He'll save their people from their sins. Did you know that God's direction always requires faith? Very seldom. I'm waiting for God to speak to me someday and say, you know, Greg, this is what I want for your life. This is what I want for your family. This is what I want for the church. And here's the good news. You've already got the gifting to do it. You've already got the money to do it. You've already got the people to do it. Matter of fact, everything you need to accomplish the plan that I have for you, you've had in your back pocket for 6 months. I'm just waiting for the day I can just, God will speak to me and say, here's the plan, and the check is already ready for you. Just write it. It's good to go. It hasn't happened yet. Every time God's spoken to me about what to do, it's always a stretch. It's always more than I have, more money than I have, more gifting than I have, more talent than I have, more time than I have. How many times have you discounted what you can do for God because you thought, I don't have enough time? Did you know when you say those words, when God is, not when you're getting some guilt trip from some family member, but when God is speaking to you about serving or doing something for your kingdom, that phrase, I do not have enough time, did you know that very phrase is a phrase of fear? I'm afraid if I commit to this, it's going to cost me something. Well, when did we as believers get so afraid of serving God costing us something? Most believers and around the world today understand that if I'm going to follow Jesus, it will cost me something, but what I gain is so much greater than what it costs. The peace it delivers is so much greater than the inconvenience it may happen. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say yes to God. Don't be afraid to commit to his kingdom. When the angel told Joseph, do not be afraid, think about it. He was saying a lot in that. Don't be afraid, Joseph. I mean, just think, you can think of the big things and the small things. Here's the big thing. Don't be afraid, Joseph. She's not cheated on you. That's a pretty big question he needed to answer. Don't be afraid, Joseph, of what other people will think. Just focus on what I think. Don't be afraid, Joseph, if this disturbs your plan. I've got a greater plan. Maybe you're sitting this morning in a place you never signed up to be. I would just say this today. Don't be afraid. God can work in your situation today. And God has a better plan for your life than you could even plan for yourself. He has a better way out of your trouble than you could ever plan for yourself. God has great plans for seasons we never even knew existed. And I want to say this to you this morning. Unfamiliar territory in your life is not unplanned territory when it comes to God's mind. Just because it's unfamiliar to you doesn't mean it's unfamiliar to Him. You know, didn't the Lord tell Abraham in the beginning to listen, follow me and I will show you the land I'm going to take you to? He didn't even tell him where he was going. He just kind of said, here's a direction. I'll let you know when you get there. And when you receive direction from the word of the Lord, the first thing the enemy's going to do is the first thing that happened to Joseph. He's going to combat your word from God with fear. He's going to tell you know what? Your life can't change. So I mean, this morning, when I began this message saying, are you in a place you never wanted to be? Are you in a place thinking, I did not sign up to be here? The next question most of you would admit to is, not only do you find yourself in a place you never committed to be, you could probably also say, yes, and I don't see any way how to change it. But I want to tell you this morning, the Spirit of God can change what you think is unchangeable. He can use what you think is broken. He can redeem what you think is lost. He can give purpose to what you think is purposeless. He can restore hope where you think all trust is broken. God can do the impossible in your life. If you will simply say, I am not going to be afraid to embrace the word of God. I like what Samuel Rodriguez says. He says, we got to remember that the enemy attacks us not because of the foolish things you've done, but because of the glorious things that God's about to do in you. What if every time you heard the Lord say, do not be afraid, you would understand that it's not that I've got to focus on not being afraid of what's behind me or around me, but I've got to get excited about what God has before me. That's what happened with Joseph. God took his mind off of all the things that was wrong and let him know, you're a part of something great that I'm about to do. So don't be afraid, but trust God. I said this past week on Facebook, those of you that follow me on there, you saw this statement. The Lord's kind of been helping me with this past week. The Lord's kind of been challenging me with this idea that, you know, trusting God doesn't really start until you can't see, you can't understand, or you disagree with the path that God is leading you. If this morning you say, Pastor, everything in my life is perfect, everything in my life is great, everything that God's wanted to do to me is so easy, it's exactly what I want, it's exactly what I dreamed, it's just perfect, and everything is fantastic, and God never challenges me, it's just like a free interstate, it's just, everything has been positive, it's just been positive and wonderful. I just have to ask you, are you really trusting God? Because trusting God leads us beyond what's comfortable. It leads us beyond what's convenient. It leads us beyond where, not just the point we're blessed, it leads us to the place where we're blessed and we become a blessing for someone else. Trusting God, it doesn't start until we don't understand. How do I know that Joseph trusted God? Because the end of that scripture says he did exactly what God told him to do, even though he didn't understand exactly all the answers. Sometimes we get so dangerous to ourselves because we think in order for us to trust God, we have to know all the answers. When friends, trusting God is following Him even when you don't have the answers. Third, this morning, you have to remember your life is tied to the mission of God. Every time I ask you to start this sermon this morning by telling your neighbor, I didn't sign up for this. Maybe you need to tell them again, I didn't sign up for this. Go ahead and tell them, I didn't sign up for this. But even in the moments you didn't sign up for, your life is still tied to the mission of God. Joseph is having a moment, right? Mary's told him that you're going to be a dad, Joseph. You're not the father, but you're going to be a dad. And it's God's fault, right? I mean, Joseph needs some explanation. And Joseph goes to sleep. Nothing about Joseph's life looks like the plan of God. His marriage plans are ruined. His family plans are ruined. His vocational plans are ruined. His reputation is ruined. Where he's going to live is about to be changed. Nothing in his mind, nothing that's in front of him looks like what he had planned in front of him. You know, I'm just here to tell you, sometimes the mission of God seems like mission impossible. Do you remember the old Mission Impossible movies where you get the guy would get the message and it says, you have, what, 60 seconds to read this message before, you know. Sometimes the message of God is like mission impossible. We just have this slight window to move and obey it before our windows close. And here's Joseph. He's in this impossible situation, but the angel reminds him a few things. Number one, he reminds him, he says, you are tied to connect to the purpose of God. Look how the angel addresses Joseph. He says, Joseph, son of David. Now, why is that important? It's important because as a son of David, which David was not actually Joseph's dad, it was his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad, right? But when the angel approached Joseph in that manner and said, Joseph, son of David, he was reminding Joseph that you are a son of promise. You are a son who is qualified for God to do something important in your life. Let me tell you, every one of you that raised your hand a few minutes ago and said, I know exactly what it's like to be in a place I never wanted to be, to say, I did not sign up for this. Let me tell you, what you're going through today has not disqualified you from being used by God in this very hour, in the very place that he has planted you to be in this moment. When the angel said, Joseph, son of David, he was reminding Joseph, by the way, you are qualified. You are in the right spot from the right family. You are positioned correctly to do something mighty for God. And the truth is no less for you today. Up at this point, I mean, Joseph knew he was a son of David. But so is his first cousin, his second cousin, his third cousin, his fourth cousin, and generations of brothers and sisters and cousins. I mean, yes, he's qualified, but there's hundreds, if not thousands, of other people who are qualified as well. And many of us have that same mindset. We read the Word of God and we hear about what he can do. And we, like Joseph, assume that, yes, God can do great things. He probably will do great things, but he's always going to do them through someone else and not us. But the angel showed up and said, Joseph, you don't understand. This thing that God's about to do is going to happen through you. And this first story of redemption of Christmas was not just about God redeeming mankind or one situation. It was about God redeeming all of our lives, including your life, and God using all of our lives, including your life. When we think of the way that Jesus was born, if you were entrusted with the job of saying, listen, the Messiah, the King, not just the King of the Jews, the King of the universe is about to be born on planet Earth, and you're in charge of his birth, his reception on planet Earth, all of us in this room would make every contact we can make, call every friend we have, spend every dollar we have to make sure this event is so grandiose, so filled with the feel of royalty. We would do all we can. We'd rent the biggest room we could rent, find the biggest palace to house it. All these things we would do. And yet when Christ was born, it was the most humble, poor situation anyone could ever imagine. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons the Jewish people, especially the religious people of the day, rejected Jesus and rejected who he was because they rejected the way that he appeared. They thought there's no way something so great could come out of a place so poor and so insignificant. And I would just want to tell you, some of you in this room, you're thinking, I didn't sign up for this. And I'm just as ordinary and as insignificant as you could ever imagine. In that moment, you're embracing the same attitude as many of those in the early days did. You're thinking, oh, this is too small, it's too insignificant that God can do anything great. But look, can I just tell you, I'm just discovering that the path to glory isn't always glorious. Amen? But if you'll stay on the path of God, if you'll get a word from Him, if you'll step out in fear, if you'll stay on the path that is not glorious at all will lead you to a glorious relationship with God and lead you to a glorious experience with Him in your life. Remember, your life is tied to Jesus. And fourth this morning, be willing to play your part. Verse number 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. He didn't just hear the word of God, he did it. You know, the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, it reminds us of two things. It reminds us that every child on planet Earth, you and I included, we all have two fathers, right? Just like Jesus, we have an earthly father that's in charge of pointing us in the right direction. He has the responsibility of raising us and providing us, humanly speaking. But there's the other Father, our Heavenly Father. And friends, it's our Heavenly Father who ultimately determines who we are and what we become. Joseph had not been treated royally as men would consider them, but it didn't change who his father was. And part of my hope this Christmas is that all of us realize that you're part of God's plan and that you have a part to play. Even if you this morning would say, Pastor, I'm in a place I did not sign up to be. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how my kids got there. I don't know how my business got there, how my family got there. I don't know. I didn't sign up for this. But even what you didn't sign up for, God can use and redeem. If you'll say, Lord, in the middle of this stuff that I don't understand, I understand I have a part to play. There's a story of three bricklayers who were all working on the same building. And someone came up and they said, well, so what is it that you're doing? And the first guy said, I'm laying bricks. So the guy went on to the next guy and he asked him, he said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm building a church. Okay. Then he went to the third guy. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a house for God. One person had a job. Another guy had a career. But the third guy, he had a calling. He knew there's something beyond, there's something great beyond this common thing that I'm doing. And some of you feel like your life is just common. I'm just doing what the person next to me does. I'm just doing what the person two cubicles down from me or the person on the other side of the Skype call or the Zoom interview. I'm just doing the same thing they do. And we rob ourselves of the reality that your life is tied to the mission of God. And even in moments you say, I did not sign up to do this, to be this, to have a part in this. Even in those moments, God can use your life. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, and it's He that's made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. In other words, when you can't see your purpose, when you realize that my life has a purpose, my life is tied to God, He lets us see those purposes. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. We're going to pray as when the musicians come this morning to play for us today. I want to ask you today, if you're in the room, you say, you know, Pastor, I'm not living for God. My life is not right with Jesus. Maybe you've heard the name of Jesus your whole life, but you've never really committed your life to Him. And today, beyond a preacher's voice, you just sense on the inside of your life, you sense the Holy Spirit of God drawing you that today's the day that you need to commit your life to Him. And you've never done that, or if you did it so many years ago that your relationship with God's just been dormant, non-existent. And today, the Spirit of God is speaking to you. Would you just lift a hand real quick? This is me, Pastor. Pray for me. I just need to respond to what the Spirit of God is saying to me today. Secondly, today, I want to remind every single one of us, your life is tied to the mission of God. Even in moments that you didn't sign up for, in the moments where you feel like your life is not going according to plan, here's what I can promise you. When you look back upon your life, when you just look back upon the life you've already lived, you're going to notice something. the greatest miracles of your life happen in unplanned moments. When I say they're unplanned moments, it's not that they were unplanned completely. They were just unplanned by you. See, God had a work. God had planned in moments you couldn't see it. He had orchestrations for your life in moments that seemed completely out of sorts and out of rhythm and out of bounds. And he still has plans for your life today. Then I said, Pastor, I'm in a situation that I did not sign up for. Maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe life has just been so empty. Maybe the things you thought would bring you joy have brought you sorrow. Maybe you raise your kids to be one way and they're a different way. You just say, Pastor, I'm dealing with a lot of things I did not sign up for. But today, I'm just believing that this is a word from God for me. And I'm believing that he's going to lead me and guide me and direct me. And I need him to redeem this season that I did not sign up for. Can I tell you this morning, I believe he wants to do that for you this morning. If you just lift your hand real quick, that's me, Pastor. I need the help of the Lord to lead me through this. Amen? 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 Would you join me all across this room today by standing? And here's what I want us to do. I want us to ask, just lift up our hearts to the Lord this morning. Lift up, I'd even challenge you all across the room, let's lift up our hands. And let's give our lives to the Lord fresh and new this morning. Father, I pray over this congregation today. Well, there's people in this room, Lord, they're dealing with things they never signed up to deal with. They never asked for these things. This is Joseph. Lord, he never signed up to carry that precious baby, Jesus, our Savior. Lord, he didn't sign up for it, but Lord, you chose him. And in the season that he thought was going to be destructive, the season he thought was going to be a disappointment, ended up being the defining season of his life. Lord, he carried Mary and Jesus. He was used by your power and by your spirit in ways that all of us are grateful for and thankful for. In the same way, Father, I know you want to use every person from the sound of my voice. So God, I pray this morning that every person, Lord, they would understand their life is tied to the mission of God. And the moments where life wants to cause them to cower back or draw back, I pray they'll move forward in faith in you, that they'll stay on the path they have for you. Even though that path is not glorious, they'll stay on it knowing that glory comes when we stay on the path. So God, I pray this week, use us even in those moments we didn't sign up for. And help us understand you're with us in moments we didn't sign up for. And you deliver miracles and promises even in moments we didn't sign up for. So this week, and even in this moment right now, there's people that are thinking, man, I did not sign up for this. I did not sign up for that. God, I'm thankful you're able to redeem, restore, renew, and even orchestrate miracles and provision in moments we didn't sign up for. Continue to do it in our life. And we'll give you thanks and praise for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? God bless you. We love you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.